How's the day? Shall we have more? Amen. This is kind of a short conference. This first time I'm in this one-day conference. It used to be 4 o'clock to sometime in the evening, right? So, do you want to have more of this kind of short conferences? Amen. I want it.
Amen.
This is so enjoyable, right?
Amen.
And before you go home, so I hope we'll finish by 8, right?
Yeah.
Should be earlier than that. Want to fellowship a little bit is because today a brother opened up with a transaction, with application, with mountains and valleys.
Right.
Our brother mentioned with the hearts. Of course, the heart. When the Lord talked about the four different kind of earths, we're not talking about different quality. Because the earth is the same.
Mm.
Is the state of the earth.
Right.
It's different. Some of the earth was trampled, was hardened through all the traffic.
Right.
So even the seed cannot fall into.
Mm-hmm.
If it just stay on the surface, the birds snatched away, the devil, you know, take it away. The other earth is full of rocks. As a matter of fact, that rock is not only mixed with the earth. There's a shallow earth with a sheet of a rock.
Uh-huh.
So the root cannot grow in. And today, we do not have time. We have a few rocks, two on this side and two nearby. Some trees used to be a seed fall in the crack of that rock. Now the tree is about this size.
Wow.
And that rock was pry open.
Yeah. Wow.
So the life force, that's where the brother fellowship, the flow of life.
Right.
Really can crack open.
Amen.
Even those kind of rocks.
Right. Okay.
So next time when you come or take a walk, show you some of the really living examples.
Mm.
There's a one pine tree here. It's probably, I would say, about this size.
Okay.
That piece of a rock is so solid, you wouldn't imagine you can hammer it open. But that tree just literally pry it open in half. So it's so powerful. And two other rocks on this side. So the heart, you give the Lord even a little crack,
yeah, right.
That life can really pry it open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, the third one we know is full of thorns and thistles, you know, to choke what's supposed to be growing. Of course, the good earth, which means it's soft, no rock, no thistles, no thorns, which can grow many times, right?
Amen.
Many times. So we all know that. So for a few minutes, I want to read a little portions of the scripture to you, and it's very familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fellowship a little bit of following these two lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the afternoon, I don't know how was the sisters' fellowship. Upstairs, we fellowship a little bit on the priority of a human living, right?
Amen.
Our daily living. What's our priority? We need to set the priority right. And if you set your priority right, the rest will fall in places.
Mm-hmm.
And we just bought a fishing net. Okay? Chinese fishing net, Israel fishing net. I even cast the net for Brother Andrew when we were in Israel. I said, this is how you do it. So we bought an American fishing net. It's different. It's so easy to get entangled. This is no good. Okay? Because the Chinese fishing net, you hold one part, the whole net fall into place.
Right.
The American fishing net, you pull one part up, all pull up. Tangle up. So it's different design. Okay. What I was trying to say is if our priority, you really line up Christ and the church.
Right.
Our living is for God's economy,
right.
for his will, his Amen. Purpose. All the rest fall in place.
Amen.
If anything comes in conflict, it's time for you to make a choice.
Mm.
What do you choose?
Because
in the future, you will make that choice anyway. Because that day is coming very soon. We have to make choices. So the will is to make choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The will has to be submissive to something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not the Lord,
mm-hmm.
it will be the devils. So that day, we have to make choices. So we need to practice to make that choice today. So for that, and the heart is very important.
Yeah.
The heart is very important. So in Revelation 2, the Lord was talking to the church in Ephesus. So I want to read this portion and then read Acts 19. Mm. And I'll expound a little bit to talk about the first love.
Yeah.
What is the first love? Revelation 2. To the messenger of the church in Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot bear evil men. And you have tried those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false." So remember these people, the church, the saints in church in Ephesus, their works, their labor, their endurance, they cannot bear evil men. They tried those who call themselves apostles and are not. So this is a very good church,
right?
Very good church. Mm-hmm. "And you have endurance and have borne all things because of my name and have not grown weary." This is very good church. "But I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love." You have left your first love. You know, if we are in a church life full of those characteristics and those merits, we will feel our locality is pretty good, right? We preach the gospel, we do this, we do that. This is pretty good. But the Lord said, yeah, all those are good. But you lost the root, the first love. "Remember, therefore, where you have fallen." The Lord used the word fallen. "Where you have fallen. Fallen from, and repent, and do the first works." There is a first works. There is a first love and a first works. You will say, "Lord, our labor, our work, our endurance, and cannot bear evil men, attest to those false apostles, those are not the first works." Obviously, it's not. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, you left the first love, and you have fallen from the first works. "But if not, I'm coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent." And we know today, the ancient Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, now is a small pile of dirt. Okay, even the city was wiped out. The lampstand is just removed. So you can see the seven stars are the messengers of the church. In a sense, are leading ones, are functioning ones in the church life. The Lord is holding. So that, and walking among, in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. So now, that part is gone. So it's a history. But the Lord is condemning them for their fallen from the first love. Mm-hmm. And away from their first works.
Okay.
Many times we ask, you know, what's the first love? It's not, you know, man loves a man, a woman, and so on. So we see the first love is the premium love, the best love, and so on. I always wondering, what is the first love? Okay. I know I loved my wife, you know, falling in love. That's natural affection. I passed a few days because of some fellowship. I was in some sessions of fellowship with the brothers. And there is a deep groaning within my heart. Mm. What is the first love? Why do we fall away from the first love? Mm. That really troubled me a little bit for the past couple of fellowships, is that first love. So on Wednesday, I spent a lot of time, I came in pretty late here, I was kneeling down praying before the Lord. Am I falling away from my first love? Lord, what is the first love? What's my first love to you? Because everyone has different first loves. What's my initial, best, highest, give it all love for my Lord? Is it still there? I was checking with my heart. So that's why today I was sharing a little bit with you from that experience. Really, today's fellowship was what's really leading to this point. Because we are here, all working saints, and also at a younger age. I was saved when I was 36. So I did not grow up in a Christian family. And before I came to this country to study, because we were a small group of elite students from mainland China, and only 50 of us was sent by the government to come to the U.S. to study. The government paid a lot of attention. So they gave us 2 weeks of a political education before we came. That's the first time I heard the name Jesus. I even never heard of the name of Jesus before. But it's heard it from a derogatory, condescending way, say, this is a evil, don't believe any of this. Now I'm serving him full time. Obviously it did not work, but it worked for a while. Just through all the years in this country, I fell in love with so many things. Science is one of them. I always want to be a top-notch scientist and do top-notch research. And so all of those really, I cannot say reach the top, but accomplished a lot. But I never found satisfaction until I believe in the Lord. Right. So that really gave it all love. I poured it out when I consecrated it the first time to the Lord. And that time was April 29th, 1999. That consecration sheet was with me for 15 full years until April 29th, 2014. And the Lord charged me. I did not want to come to New York City. The Lord pointed to my pocket and said, you have that consecration. Basically, I wrote the Lord a blank check and signed it. Lord, whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you see, I'm worthy to you. You signed. I give it all. That's the consecration I had. So this past Wednesday, I was praying before the Lord. Am I falling away from that consecration? Am I falling away or looking for any personal interest or anything distracting me? Or anything troubling my heart to hinder your growth, hinder the flow of your life within. Brothers and sisters, this is first love. I think a lot of you grew up in the church life. Many times you're so blessed and preserved in many aspects. I was talking with Brother Chris and Sister Melody, and they're living in Harvard Square. I used to, so many times, take the red line from MIT to Harvard because there's a bar there. And I said, I got drunk so many times in that bar. Okay, so many times. One margarita, two margarita, three, four, five. After you lose a count, that's also a lot of things that happen. And you grew up in the church life. You're preserved by the Lord, by the saints, and you really, really, you benefited so much from the Lord's recovery, from the church life, from the saints. And on one hand, I admire you. On the other hand, I'm very jealous to a point to hate you not loving the Lord to the uttermost. I grew up in a very poor family, and in a sense, I made it. I made it. Begin to receive formal education when I was 15. And until today, you know, seems like worldly-wise, we went through all the processes. Until I met the saints in Franklin, until I met the saints in the Lord's recovery, to begin to see the truth and know the truth, and I begin to realize why the Lord brought me through all these steps. Really, we give it all. I don't know if this is the definition of the first love, but I want to read Acts 19. You will realize, because Ephesus, if you see the church in Ephesus, what is their first love? What is the Lord is referring to? You've fallen away from your first love and a first works. Okay, let's want to read it to you. You don't have, if you want to check, you can check, but I read it through. We know the church in Ephesus started from that couple. That's really fitting for today. Yeah. A young couple, we know it's Aquila and Priscilla. Mm-hmm. We know where Paul and this couple, really one whole meeting, just take one family. Mm-hmm. That's why single brothers and sisters, get married. Form families. I'm not as mild and and gentle as the brothers, okay? Forgive me. Get married. Have family. Because one family, one young family, can do so much.
Amen.
In the church life. A healthy family can become a seed for the church. On the October 23rd, we're going to have a new testimony raised up in this area. 5, 6, few young families. Right. Again, really. Amen. Establish a testimony. Amen. By laboring together. Amen. Brothers and sisters, one burden, I don't know if it's mentioned this or not, but upstairs we mentioned a little bit. Get married. Get married. Have families. So the church has started. We know Apollo was involved. Yeah, a lot of issues related with that. I won't mention that. But when Paul returned to Ephesus, the church life revolutionized. Yeah, that place was revolutionized. Time is limited. I won't mention that much. All right. I won't read the verses. You know the stories, okay? When Paul begin to preach the gospel, and those 12 were anointed by the Holy Spirit. You know, the church life kick-started. The gospel becomes so rampant, so powerful. And there are imitators. Those imitators, they use the name of the Jesus whom Paul believed,
wow,
trying to cast out demons. We know the result. The demon-possessed man really tear them apart, right? Chase them out. You can see that the powerful gospel. The gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
Of course, when the gospel begin to preach, there are a lot of even magicians, or what do you call those people? Those magic doers, right? Mm-hmm. Those who sorcerers. Yeah. Those who can read your palms. Today's palm readers, a lot of those people. Those people who use the dark force, the evil powers, many of them even turned,
right,
to believe in the Lord, the real God. You know what they did? They burned all their livelihood.
Yeah.
Those are books. You know, today we burn a lot of books. It's nothing. In the days, in Paul's days, books are very precious. Okay, you know, before 2 or 3 centuries BC, the Library of Alexandria is one of the most famous libraries, right? There are not many books in that library by those days. Okay, there's not many books because it's so hard to secure a lot of books. 50,000 silver coins, books from these kind of people were burned. The dynamic salvation, brothers and sisters, the dynamic turn from those people, from regular people, come to the Lord and come to the church life is so dramatic. They burned all their old life, all their savings. I mean, those books are valuable stuff. Okay? All of their stuff got burned. And when I come to this country, my hobby was collect classic videotapes. I have the whole collection of Chaplin's silent movies. Okay? Wow. It's not easy to get a whole collection. Okay? I love to watch them. Okay? Burton, even when I'm your neighbor, I still watch them. Okay? Because I brought them all over to Boston. And when I got saved, when I read Clean Up Your Old Life, mm-hmm. I had three shelves of all classic movies. I spent, I don't know how many dollars. I threw them away or give them away. So this is very valuable. I give them away. The Lord said, reminded me, if you give them away, how can you preach gospel to those friends you gave away those tapes? So eventually, you know the result. Several large garbage bags. Close my eyes. Lord, thank you. Lord Jesus. That morning, I worried the night before if I police them out, somebody gonna pick them up. So next, I got up very early that morning and took them out to the street until the garbage truck come. I watched it, got through in, and the crusher just so praise the Lord! That's my old life. Brothers and sisters, this the Ephesus, those people in Ephesus burned all their bridges, burned all their old life, burned all the ways they make a living. They turned to the true and the living God. That's one thing. Also, because of their works, I'm quoting those are first works, first love and first works. Those who make those crafts, those idolatry crafts, right. They lost so much business. The whole city that are treed has no business anymore. So that's why they had an emergency conference, an emergency meeting. They say, man, if Paul continue like this, we'll lose our livelihood. So as you can see, those Christians, those saints, lost their traditional, old, evil livelihood. And then they, in turn, damaged the livelihood of those who craft and make those idols.
Right.
Just some Christians, absolute Christians, love the Lord to that point, can cause such an uproar in the city of Ephesus.
Wow.
So they had an emergency meeting and then caused uprising in that city. We know that story. So saints, brothers and sisters, the first love of the saints in Ephesus is to give it all.
Amen.
Their priority is to give it all to serve the true and the living God. Their action, of course, brought in opposition, brought in accusation, brought in uproar against them.
Right.
Seems like by that point, they stood firmly. They stood firmly. Even in that theater, there's a lot of people, you know, Paul even trying to enter, and a lot even a lot of honorees block them, say, don't enter in, don't enter in. You can see the gospel became so prevailing in the city of Ephesus. That's why Paul stayed there for 3 years. And you also know the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is so high. That's the book with a bird's eye view from heavenlies,
right,
to see the church, to see the body of Christ, to see God's heart desire. Because of that city, the saints in that city afforded Paul to have such uplifted view and a vision of God's heart desire. Brothers and sisters, coming back is the first love. The church in Ephesus, even though they still do work, have endurance, and cannot bear evil, cannot even still a lot of outward things still going on. But within their heart, it become shining away or falling away from that heart desire of give it all for the church life, for heart's desire, God's heart desire to give it all, that spirit. That spirit is gone. I think the Lord, when he rebuked the church in Ephesus, you have fallen away from your first love and fallen away from your first works. Brothers and sisters, I want to use this to remind us, because today, the whole day, I know from your work, from your family, and a lot, many families may have different difficulties, and your job may have difficulties, your parents may have different expectations, and your friends, your contemporaries may have different, you know, comparisons and secret comparisons among you. And brothers and sisters, we know your pressure, your peer pressure can be very high. But we are peculiar and particular people. We need to keep that particularity, not a peculiarity. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of our peculiarity, but we need to keep that singular and a particularity. Particularity of us to the Lord, amen, to his heart desire. Because the first love is so easily got distracted, wow, so easily got smudged, and it'll be softened by anything in the world, in our workplace, in our marriage, in our, you know, many environments, many situations can really trouble us to shy away and fallen away from that first love. Amen. That first love, brothers and sisters, from the background of the saints in Ephesus, my reading for the past few days, I say, so give it all. Do not worry about your sacrifice. They sacrificed everything to love the Lord. They are willing to risk everything for the Lord. They are even willing to sacrifice their own life for the Lord. I think their first love, and you can read it any other way, but this past few days impressed me greatly. That first love is the first love the Lord needed from the church in Ephesus, and also needed today for the remnant in this age. Because in the time about 1948, and Brother Nee, before that he mentioned something, but 1948 there's a portion was very clear. And he said, if the Lord want to have a way in this age, he needs small number of saints who are absolutely yielding their wills, willing to sacrifice everything for his heart desire. And I think that they set a pattern for us. There are many saints ahead of us. They set a pattern and for us. I mean, in Hebrew 11, we know there are a lot of ancient examples. But in our history, there are so many patterns and clouds ahead of us. And today, I think as a young working generation, we're facing a very tough situation. I mean, not only morale-wise, the whole morality is going down the drain. And everything is being turned upside down. Even in many of your minds, the political correctness might be eating away your first love or your admission of your first love to the Lord. Maybe even really corroding away. That's the right word, right?
Yes.
Corroding away your faithfulness to the church life. Even your faithfulness and your prudence toward the Lord's heart desire. I think if you use this as a sort of like a warning, brothers and sisters, this age is slowly numbing us, stupefying us, gradually desensitizing us from what is holy, what is godliness, what is really we should hold the value tightly for. And in your working area, in your working place, I'm sure you hear so many abnormal things turned into normal. Evil things become legal. So many damaging factors in our living, in our work, even in our schools, in many places, the eating away the first love, damaging that first love of us to the Lord and His heart desire. Brothers and sisters, this we take this day. I don't know if it's how many more. We should have more, brothers. We should have more. It's to remind each other and provide a tight, if we call this a social group, okay? This day is social media and this. Consider this as a tight social group to preserve each other,
amen,
to remind each other.
Right.
We are small remnants,
right,
yet we are different. Brothers and sisters, today, so difficult for some people to say they are different. We are different people. You admit or not, in your heart, you know you are different. That's why we need to be that salt.
Right.
Light may not be enough. We need to be salty.
Mm-hmm.
When people taste you, they know you're salty. They know you will kill the germs. And today, people trying to use all different mechanisms try to turn us from salt into not salty at all. That's Lot's wife. Lot's wife is a pillar of salt, a pillar of a rock. There's no salty at all.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, this is something I want to remind each other. We are salt to the world. In our working environment, in our school, we need to be germ killers. We need to be topic changers. They may talk a lot of this and that, but our presence to change that topic. When they see us, they will stop their evil talkings. They will stop all their so many disgusting topics. They will say, oh, here comes a Christian. Here comes a different Christian. Brothers and sisters, today the testimony of our Lord is losing very fast in the majority of the Christians. We need to be different. You may ponder differently, but my strong suggestion, I think our brother's strong suggestion is you need to be salt.
Amen.
You need to be salty to keep that first love. Otherwise, our first love will be defiled,
right,
contaminated, corroded, and maybe even washed away gradually. And our love to the Lord, we need to be testimonies not only to the world, even testimonies to a lot of Christians, particularly those seeking Christians. Today there are so many Christians They are so silenced by the social pressure,
right,
by political pressure, by political correctness. They are so silenced in their heart. We know many of them have the heart desire. They want to be different. Yet, they do not have that environment. And in our church life, we need to nurture that environment. We need to nurture that salty environment. So many seeking Christians can even find the light, find the saltiness, find the truth in our localities. So they can come even to meet with us, to enjoy the Lord, to testify to the Lord, and to recover their first love to the Lord. So 8 o'clock, gotta stop. Brothers and sisters, really, this age is turning many Christians really cold-hearted or silenced. We cannot be. We don't want to shout in Manhattan. We don't have to do that. If we need it, we will. But we need to be salty in our micro environment, in our microcosmos. We need to be the salt to many of our friends, even topic changers when we are present. And sometimes invite them to our homes, invite them to saints' homes to have a meal and to talk about the faith and preach gospel. And we can do a lot of things to our friends, to our colleagues, and to our classmates, and to our even children, childhood friends. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We hope we have more opportunities to have this kind of fellowship. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I think we need to respond. So how about we respond by praying? But let's pray together. If you want to pray, you stand up and pray shortly, not a long prayer, short prayers, and we just respond to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Even if you want to consecrate yourself again to the Lord. It's
good. Amen.
But we need to spend a little time to respond to this.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Speaking here tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would remind each one of us,
amen,
Lord, concerning our first love towards you.
Amen.
Lord, return us to the first work.
Amen.
Lord, we just offer our heart to you afresh.
Amen.
Lord, thank you with even a crack in our heart.
Amen.
Lord, life can grow.
Amen.
Lord, cause us all to have the proper heart before you.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Love you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for all that you've spoken to us.
Amen.
Lord, we look to you to work this out in every one of us.
Amen.
Lord, that this will not just remain words that we hear.
Amen.
Lord, work this out.
Amen.
Cause our hearts to be open to you.
Amen.
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 Lord, gain the ground in our heart.
Amen.
Lord, we would be a people that are salty.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, make us luminaries that shine in
That's right.
Amen.
To it, Lord,
amen.
You shine on it.
Amen.
Lord, we just open ourselves entirely.
Amen.
We come into every chamber of our heart.
Amen.
We consecrate our entire being to you.
Amen.
Lord, that we recover our first love.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go on in you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
We can recover our first love.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, your heart is good toward us.
Yes.
Lord, recover our heart for you.
Amen.
In the first love.
Amen.
Oh, we tell you, we commit ourselves to you.
Amen.
Oh, recover us, Lord.
Amen.
In your work to consecrate ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, even this we cannot do without you.
That's right.
You have proven yourself to be the real and living God.
Amen.
Prove yourself again and again, Lord, to each one of us.
Amen.
To gain us even when we have so many layers on top of us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll end our day conference here and pray for the next one.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you leave the camp, when you drive out of parking lot, when you get on the hill, there's a turn there, pretty dark. So drive